couple of weeks ago, I was out of town at a conference, and this is a true story, really happened. And I'm sitting next to a lady, and she says to me, "Oh, no, where are you?" I said, "Stern College." She says, "Oh, that's Yeshiva University." I said, she says, "Oh, my sister lives in the New York area, and she loves that program that they have on Sunday morning where the women come to learn." I said, "Oh, you're very nice." I said, "Oh," she said, "what's that called?" I said, "Midrashet Yom Rishon." She said, "Yeah, my sister loves it." I said, "Yeah, I'm speaking for them for a couple of weeks." So she says to me, "What's the topic?" So I say, "The topic is whether Ephraim and Manasseh were one shevet or two." And she says to me, "Why is that important?" So I think for a minute and I said, "My audience will know why it is important." And I said it with a measure of pride in the audience. I said that the audience takes interest in being learned. And being learned, one has to know whether Ephraim were and Manasseh were one shevet or two. So I tell it to you. And after that, I was saying, okay, now why else is it important other than just being learned? I think that what you'll enjoy here is following an idea from its beginning through the Tanakh and see how it actually developed. Also, I know that last time that I spoke here, some women came over to me afterwards. We spoke about the Haftarah the last time. And she said to me, "You know, it was what was great was that we were doing Nevi'im. We do a lot of Torah, but we don't do a lot of Nevi'im. So this will take us also into Nevi'im, into a section that's very not well known in Nevi'im. So I think you'll enjoy that also." In yesterday's parsha, Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh that they will be like Reuven and Shimon. Okay, in source number one, you have Atashne Banecha, Ephraim uMenasseh, Keruven v'Shimon Yiyuli. They will be like Reuven and Shimon. Now, it's not clear exactly in what way they will be like Reuven and Shimon. We'll see that soon. This is understood to mean that there will be two Shvatim. Not one Shevet, Shevet Yosef, but two Shvatim. And then later in the same parak in Pasuk Chafet, Yaakov says, "V'ani natati lecha shechem echad al achicha." I have given you an extra portion. Some take it to mean Shechem, that it was really the city of Shechem. Others take it to mean a double portion. Again, this notion of them being two Shvatim. Now, before we talk about what really happened, whether they were two Shvatim or not, why was it that Manasseh and Ephraim were singled out for this unique bracha that they would be two Shvatim? Why is it? Anybody? So there are a couple of reasons that are given. One is that Rachel was really supposed to be the first wife. Really, Rachel was supposed to be Yaakov's first wife. She gave, which would have made her child the Bechor, but she made it easier for Leah. She gave over the Simanim, and that was something that she did out of the goodness of her heart, and therefore she was paid back that her eldest did get the Bechorah, that Yosef did get the Bechorah. Another explanation that's given is because Yosef supported Yaakov in Mitzrayim, that he took care of the family, he supported everyone, and therefore he deserved some sort of a memory of what he had done. Also, Yaakov loved Yosef more, right? We know in Bereishit Lamed Zayin that Yaakov loved Yosef. Other explanations that are given, sort of these are given in the original sources and in the Psukim. You also have this notion that Ephraim and Manasseh are unique because they didn't assimilate. Ephraim and Manasseh were in Mitzrayim. Yosef did not assimilate. Yaakov found him the same way as he had left him. So they deserve this special bracha because they were able, even in Mitzrayim, to hold on to their Yiddishkeit. You also have this notion, what does it mean that Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuven and Shimon? So in the Musar Sfarim, they talk about how you have Yiridat HaDorot, right? Every generation is lower than the one before it. When you say Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvain v'Shimon, that Ephraim and Menashe are on the level of Reuven and Shimon, means that there's no Yiridat HaDorot. That's why we bless our children, Yisimcha Elokim, Ephraim and Menashe, because we want them to be like our generation, that there should be no Yiridat HaDorot. Another idea that I saw is that Ephraim and Menashe are given two so that Rachel should not be like the Shvachot. Rachel had two children and each of the Shvachot had two children. But if you give Ephraim and Menashe become two Shvatim, then Rachel now has three Shvatim, right? She has Menashe, Ephraim, and Binyamin, and therefore that's making her greater. So these are a number of reasons why Ephraim and Menashe are made into two and not one. But the question is, what really happened? Were they really two Shvatim, or were they one? And what we're going to find is that for some things they are one, and for some things they are two. They don't really end up being completely two Shvatim, and that's what we'd like to explore. Take a look at source number two, which is the pasuk in Divrei Yamim. Now, Divrei Yamim is after the fact, right? It's a narrator's account of what happened. What does the pasuk say? Ubnei Reuven b'chor Yisrael. So he's called b'chor Yisrael. Ki hu b'chor. Ubechalalo yitzu e'aviv. When he switched his father's bed, nitna b'chorato l'bnei Yosef ben Yisrael. Now, the Gemara says that it was not only because of what Reuven did, that Yosef was eligible for a double portion even without Reuven doing what he did. Nitna b'chorato l'bnei Yosef ben Yisrael. So the b'chorah was given to Yosef. V'lo l'tyaches l'b'chorah. But the pasuk makes a very important distinction. It says, but he is not considered the b'chor. Lo l'tyaches l'b'chorah. Now, who is not considered the b'chor? So it could be there are two possible subjects here. Who are the possibilities? Either Reuven or Yosef, right? Either you could say v'lo l'tyaches l'b'chorah, that Reuven is not mityaches l'b'chorah, or you can say that Yosef is not mityaches l'b'chorah. Now, why can't it be Reuven, or why would it be difficult? And actually, there are sources that say it's Reuven, there are sources that say it's Yosef. What's the difficulty with saying that it's Reuven? Because all over in the Pesukim, in Pasuk Aleph, and then again in Pasuk Gimel, what does the Pasuk keep calling Reuven? B'chor Yisrael, okay? So you can't keep calling him B'chor Yisrael and say at the same time that he's not mityaches l'b'chorah. Okay, so let's say, now again, there are sources that say that it's Reuven, but let's say that it was Yosef that it's talking about. So what does it mean, b'lo l'hityaches l'b'chorah? That even though he got a double portion, he's still not considered the b'chor. In some way, the giving of the double portion to Yosef and saying that Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuven and Shimon, but they're not completely like Reuven and Shimon. Ki Yehuda gavar be'echav ulenagid mimen. Now I'm reading Pasuk Bet in Devar Yamim. Yehuda got part of the Bechorah. What part of the Bechorah did Yehuda get? The Melucha. Baha Bechorah li Yosef. But the Bechorah is to Yosef. But we just said that the Bechorah is not to Yosef. So you see here the ambivalence and the ambiguity of Yosef's position. On the one hand, he is the Bechorah, but they keep stepping backwards to say, but he's not. Okay? B'nei Reuven Bechor Yisrael. Okay? So you see that Reuven is called the Bechor. Yosef got some part of the Bechora, and Yehuda got some part of the Bechora. Okay, Yehuda got the Melucha part of it. Yosef got something, and Reuven got something. We'll see in a minute what it was that Yosef got. The most common explanation is that what Yosef got was the double Nachala, that he got two portions in Eretz Yisrael, but that's it. He still doesn't become the Bechor. Reuven is continually called the Bechor, even though Yosef gets the Pishnayim in the Nachala. Now, if you look at the Pasuk in Yechezkel, where the Pasuk is talking about in Achrit Hayamim, when the land will be divided, the Pasuk says that they will be divided into 12 Shvatim, L'shnei Asar Shiftei Yisrael, Yosef Chavalim. Yosef Chavalim is understood as Yosef gets double. Even in Latid Lavo, Yosef will get Pishnayim. Now, how do you get 12 if Yosef gets 2? Levi doesn't get. Okay? So always, when you want to keep 12, you subtract Levi, and if you want to keep 12 with Yosef being one Shevet, you include Levi, and if you want to keep 12 with Yosef being two Shvatim, you subtract Levi. That's the way you keep the numbers. Okay, so now, so we basically have this picture of Yosef getting two, but not complete. Now, if you look at the Gemara, source number 4, the Gemara in Horiot, the Gemara is talking about Par Helem Tzibor, where the entire Tzibor brings a korban, and they're talking about specifically the number 12, how you're going to get 12. So the Gemara says that if you don't count Shevet Levi, you're going to have less than 12. Im kein chasri lehu yud bet shvatim, you'll have less than 12. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Ephraim u'Menashe keruvein v'shimon yiyuli. So Abaye here is assuming that Ephraim and Menashe are two shvatim also for the purposes of bringing this korban. Amar Rava, so Rava says, v'haketiv al shem acheyem yikaru b'nachalatam, they are going to be called by, it's specifically nachala. L'nachala hukshu v'lo l'davar acher, they were compared to whom? To Reuven and Shimon, only for Nachala, Velola Davar Acher. So the Gemara understands the double portion to Yosef, that Ephraim and Menashe are two Shvatim, only for Nachala. Now, if it's only for Nachala, then the Gemara then looks at other situations. Now, if it would be only for Nachala, how would that affect the number 12 for the Korban? What you would have to do, and this is actually the way the Gemara concludes, that they are not counted for the Korban. They're only counted as one Shevet for the Korban. And the only advantage that they got from being two Shvatim was when it came to Nachala. Okay? And that's how the Gemara ends, because then the Gemara says, it's Velo, and isn't that wrong? V'ha-chalukim b'dgalim. Don't you find when they encamped, you remember in the Midbar when they camped 3, 3, 3, and 3, Ephraim and Menashe are two Shvatim. Okay, so that would seem like there, it's not for Nachala, right? Encampment in the Midbar is not Nachala. So the Gemara answers, k'nachalatan kach chaniatan, that Nachala was given by Yaakov, so too was Chanaya in the Midbar, meaning that in the Midbar, where they would encamp was set up by Yaakov Avinu beforehand. And therefore, for that case, they are considered two, but in every other case, they're only one. Then another answer the Gemara gives is, Kidei lachlok kavod l'dgalim. The Gemara says, well, if you would be minus one shevet, the dgalim would be it would be uneven, it would be lopsided, right? You have 3, 3, 3, and 2. So in order to make it equivalent, 3, 3, 3, and 3, you gave Ephraim and Menashe 2. which sounds like when we want them to be two, we make them two. When we want them to be one, we make them one. Okay? Then the Gemara says, well, okay, so let's say we'll say that Nachala does not count, that the Chanayah and the Midbar doesn't count because it's different. Well, what about Nisi'im? What about by the Nisi'im when they count the different Nisi'im for each Shevet, Ephraim and Menashe each get their own? Okay, so why do they get their own if they're only counted L'Nachala as two? Hahu Lachlo Kavod L'Nisi'im. So the Gemara answers that that's only to for the purpose of the Nisi'im to be able to bring the Korbanot every day, that the Nisi'im, that it should be a full 12 based on the Degalim, but in every other case it would not be. D'Tanya, Shlomo Asazayimet, and then it's talking about the different number of days that they wanted to have 12 full days of bringing the Korbanot of the Nisi'im, and therefore they added Ephraim and Menashe as two. But the Gemara ends with the conclusion that no, the only thing that they really should be two Shvatim for is Nachala, and these are the two cases we have an explanation for, but in general, Ephraim and Menashe are only two for the purposes of Nachala. Now, not everybody, as far as the Parshanim go, not everybody accepts this explanation, but we are going to assume this explanation. The Ramban does accept it, but there are others who don't. For example, Rashi says that the only thing that Ephraim and Menashe got was that they were called to Shvatim, but they didn't get extra Nachala. Chizkuni, and we'll see that in a minute, and the Ramban argues against that. Chizkuni says that they were called to, the only thing that they got was that they had two separate, when they were given their Nachalot, they were given, it was called Ephraim and it was called Menashe, so they were given a boundary for Ephraim and a boundary for Menashe, but they didn't get any more than any other Shevet. The Ramban, however, is, yeah. Right. Good. Right, so, okay, so what you're bringing up is it's very interesting, but the Ramban says even, what she's saying is there's a question in the Gemara in Baba Batra whether the land was divided Lishvatim or Lakarkaf Gavre. Was the land divided first into 12 equal pieces and then each Shevet divided it amongst its constituents? Or did they divide the land, they took 603,550 and said, or whatever the number was when they got into Eretz Yisrael, and they said, each person gets a piece. Okay? So Rashi is assuming Lakarkaf Gavre, and Ramban is assuming Lishvatim. Rashi is assuming that each person got no matter, like if you had 60,000 people in the Shevet, they got 60,000 portions. If you had 90,000 people in the Shevet, you got 90,000 portions. Ramban is assuming that they split according to the Shvatim. But Ramban says that even if they divided the land, like Rashi says, Lakarkaf Gavre, they would have given each of Ephraim and Menashe two pieces. Each person from Ephraim and Menashe would have gotten double because they're double in Nachalat. It's an excellent question. And he anticipates it and he says, it's not only that Rashi and I disagree over how the land was divided. He says, because even if you say like Rashi, that the land was divided, Lakarkaf Gavre, which means that the land was divided, each person got a portion. And if you had a bigger Shevet, they got more portions, and if you had a smaller Shevet, they got less. He says that each of Ephraim and Menashe would have gotten two, which is amazing. Okay, because he is very, he's sort of a maximalist on Ephraim and Menashe getting Nachala, two portions of Nachala. Let's take a look at the Ramban. It's actually the next source. Umolat Hasherulat Hacharem, which is the pasuk where Yaakov gives them two. Im tolid od banim lo yiyu b'minyan banai. They would not be included in mine. Ela betoch shiftei Ephraim u'Menash. Okay, go down to the next line. Va'af al pishin et chalka Eretz Yisrael leminyan gulgalotam. That's Rashi, okay, in the middle of the line. Even though Eretz Yisrael was divided l'karkaf gavre, which means Eretz Yisrael was divided, each person got a piece. Kedichtiv, and that's the Gemara in Baba Batra, kufchaf alef, kufchaf be. Kedichtiv l'arav tarbe nachalato. V'chol ish natal b'shaveh, chutz min ha-bechorot. Mikol makom lo nekru shvatim ela elu. So what is Rashi saying? It means that you're two shvatim. That you are like Reuven and Shimon. According to Rashi, all it is that they're called shvatim. And, right, and how they're camped, and that they got a nasi, but that they didn't get any concrete benefit. They didn't get extra land from being two shvatim. V'zeh einenu nachon. Okay, Ramban really argues not only once, but in a number of places against Rashi on this point, that Ephraim and Menashe have to be two shvatim l'nachala. And of course, what does he have to back him up? Well, he's got the Gemara, okay? He's got the two Nesi'im all over, and he's got the promise of Yaakov, which is backed up by the Pasuk in Devar Yamim, okay? So now the Ramban says, this is wrong. She'im kein ein ha-bechora li-Yosef el l'nyan ha-kavod bilvad she'ikaru banav shvatim. He says, then what did Yosef get that his children are like like Reuven and Shimon? All that he got was what? That they're called a shevet. He says, what's the big deal? That's just a matter of kavod. They didn't get any concrete benefit from it. Va'katuv omer b'nachalatam. The Pasuk specifically says, and then he brings proof upon proof that it's a double nachala, okay? And then look at the next underlying passage. V'lo ha'yitza b'chorato likarei shvatim bilvad k'divrei harav. It's not only that they were called shvatim. V'im nomar, now this is what I was just saying to you, that they would get two. Im nomar shenatnu l'chol echad mibnei Yosef pi shnayim ke'echad mikol shiftei sha'ar ha'shvatim. He says, and if you'll say that they gave each of the Bnei Yosef Pishnayim, lo huzkar zeh b'katuv. He doesn't want to say this. He says the Pasuk doesn't say it anywhere. V'lo matzinu b'Yaakov sheyitein b'chora li-Yosef. We didn't see that he gives him real b'chora. But Ela shamar k'ruvim b'shimon, okay. Im kein hayu legamrei kishnei shvatim v'hi b'chorato. He says, but you have to say that they are, that he gave them actual, that they would be like two shvatim. And if you'll say like Rashi, ve'im chalku Yisrael ha'aretz l'shvatim in the last paragraph, and if they divided it l'shvatim like I say, then there's no problem. Then they got two separate chunks of land. They got one chunk for Ephraim and one chunk for Menashe, meaning they got a double portion. The im ulai nomar shechalku legilgalotam. If you'll push me and you'll say that they divided it lekarkaf gavre, like who says, like Rashi, kaniglemen hakatuv nitnu lahem kiflayim b'misparam. They got double the amount. If there were 140,000 people in Ephraim and Menashe together, they gave them 280,000 pieces. Okay, chelik pashut v'chelik sheni b'chora. Okay, so Ramban is a maximalist on giving them a double nachala. Now, yeah. So I think what your question really is why is he comparing them to Reuven and Shimon? Shouldn't he compare them, let's say, to Yisachar and Zvulun? Right. Well, the problem is Reuven, not to include Reuven, because Reuven is supposed to be the Bechor. But the Bechorah at this point is taken away from Reuven. So you're right, it's sort of odd to take the Bechorah away from Reuven and then say that Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuven. So one source that I saw says that he specifically said Reuven and Shimon because Reuven and Shimon both had rebuke in their bracha that Yaakov gave to Reuben and Shimon. He gave them rebuke, and therefore he's saying that they are mine even though I rebuke them. So it's specifically Reuben and Shimon were singled out because they were rebuked. But I agree with you that it's difficult because why compare him to Reuben who just lost the Bechorah? It is, yeah. Right. Right. Right, but she's right that it is sort of odd to say like Reuven and Shimon when Reuven is supposed to be the Bechor to get Pishnayim. But it's clear from the Pasuk in Devarei Yamim that he lost the Bechorah. So Reuven, for the purpose of Nahala, became just like everybody else. But you're right, it is an oddity. Now, let's take a look, and I didn't actually bring the psukim for you, but I just would like to show you that if you follow through Tanakh, you see that in general, in Tanakh, the Ephraim and Menashe are considered two shvatim. Okay? In Bamidbar Aleph, where you have you don't have the psukim, it was a lot of shemot to make, so I just, I'll read it to you. In Bamidbar Aleph, where you have all the Shvatim counted and listed, you have there Libnei Yosef, then they list Libnei Ephraim, and then Libnei Menashe. So what the usual pattern in the Psukim throughout Tanakh, when you're talking about Ephraim and Menashe, is to say the Bnei Yosef, then talk about Ephraim, and then talk about Menashe. That's the usual pattern, okay? You have the same pattern in Bamidbar Chavav, where they're counting them and by families. B'nei Yosef, L'mishpachotam, Menashe, Ve'Ephraim. B'nei Menashe, and then he goes on to list the B'nei Menashe. Ela B'nei Ephraim, and then he goes on to list the B'nei Ephraim. Okay? So that's the usual pattern. Again, in Bamidbar Lamedalid, L'B'nei Yosef, L'mate B'nei Menashe, Nasi Chaniel Ben Ephod. Ulamate b'nei Ephraim, Nasi Kemuel ben Shiftan. So they list them. This is when the Nasiim are being listed to do Chalukat Haaretz. They list them that way. Now, so the usual pattern is to say b'nei Yosef and then talk about Menashe and Ephraim. Now, this is, one way you could say that they're not really their own two Shvatim because they're always listed as under the heading of Yosef. But they are still listed separately as Mate b'nei Ephraim and Mate b'nei Menashe. In Bamidbar Yud Gimel, where you have in source 7, you do have a little bit of a deviation from this pattern. What's the deviation there? Okay, so first of all, what you have is that they're not next to each other. Right? You see that they're divided. Ephraim is in Pasuk Chet. And by the way, sometimes Menashe is first, sometimes Ephraim is first. That's because of the problem of who is the Bechor amongst Ephraim and Menashe. That's a separate issue. But here you have Ephraim separated from Menashe by a few psukim and by a few other nisim. But also, you have that Ephraim is not called Mate Yosef, but Menashe is. Okay. Now, I wonder whether in this particular case, is it because of Yehoshua? Because Yehoshua, this is where they're listing the Meraglim, Bamidbar Yud Gimel is the Meraglim. Maybe it's because Yehoshua was separate, he and Kalev were separate from the other Meraglim, so maybe that might be why they're separated. Now, so that's what you have up until you get to Yehoshua, where they're given their nachalot. And this is where it really gets interesting. In Sefer Yehoshua, when Ephraim and Menashe are given their nachalot, that's where we're going to see whether they got two or one. So now, if you look in Perek Yudalin, The first source here in Yehoshua is Yehoshua Yudalid, where they're talking about the Shvatim in general. This is before they actually got their Nachalah. And source number 8, yeah. They're talking about how do you get 12 Shvatim, Okay? So you have Pasuk Bet, there are 9.5 Shvatim. Pasuk Gimel, there are 2.5. So now, of course, you have the question, but what about Levi? Okay, look in Pasuk Gimel. Ki natan Moshe nachalat shtei matot b'chatzi amateh me'eber le'yarden, v'la leviim lo natan nachala b'tocham. He didn't give Levi. Ki hayu b'nei Yosef shnei matot, they were 2 shvatim, Menashe ve'Ephraim, v'lo natnu chelek la leviim ba'aretz. Okay, so how do you keep 12? The Pasuk clearly states, how do you keep 12? Menashe and Ephraim count as 2 separate ones, and Levi does not get. Okay, so again, you have the statement that Ephraim and Menashe are 2. But this is, of course, within the context of Nachala. And now let's look at what really happens when they get their Nachala. In Perek Tet Zayin, Vayetzei HaGoral Libnei Yosef. Now, what you see here, if you look at Pasuk Aleph, Vayetzei HaGoral Libnei Yosef, and then on the next page in Pasuk Dalet, Vayinchalu b'nei Yosef Menashe ve'Ephraim, Vayihi gvul b'nei Ephraim, and then in Perek Yud Zayin you have the gvul of Menashe. Now what happened here? Vayetze ha'goral l'b'nei Yosef in Pasuk Aleph, then it lists a whole bunch of boundaries. Then Pasuk Dalet, Vayinchalu b'nei Yosef Menashe ve'Ephraim, Vayihi gvul b'nei Ephraim l'mishpachotam, and then in the next parak, Vayihi gvul b'nei Menashe l'mishpachotam. What happened here? And the Ramban is quick to pick up on this.
No, but I'm guessing that first they got Nachala.
Right.
And then Nachala was divided
into the 2 Shvatim. Okay, what happened here, according to the Pasuk, okay, now it's a Pasuk in Navi, the land that was given to them by Yetzei HaGoral Libnei Yosef, and then it lists all the boundaries of the entire Ephraim and Menashe portion, which was a double portion. And then, now of course, the fact that it was a double portion is something that we can only assume, because you can't even by looking at the boundaries know that it was a double portion. Why not? Because some of the boundaries in Eretz Yisrael were smaller but better land, and some were bigger but worse land. So it's not as if you look at maps of the way the Shvatim were divided, they don't look equivalent meters-wise, but they could have been better land or worse land. For example, if you had a huge forest in the middle of the land or a mountain that they couldn't plow or something like that, then that would come off of the total. Or much more fertile soil would count for more, and less fertile soil would count for less. So it's not as if by looking at the boundaries we could tell. Okay, you're right. There is an added complication here. You're right. There is an added complication of the fact that Menashe was split in half, right? You're right. But we're assuming that the piece that Menashe is getting in Eretz Yisrael proper is half of the size of what a regular Shevet would get. Okay? But yes, you're right. There are a couple of added complications here, right? There's the added complication of the fact that Menashe is split. There's the added complication of the fact that Ephraim and Menashe, there's question over who's the Bechor amongst them. Okay? But barring all of those difficulties, we're going to assume Menashe here is half of Shevet Menashe, getting half of what a regular Shevet would get. So now, if you look at this, on the face of it, at least assuming, like Ramban, that what they get is double Nachala. Each Shevet got one piece, and they got 2, one for Ephraim and one for Menashe. What it looks like in these Psukim is that they got one double-sized portion, and then it was split. Now, why is this significant? Because, again, what do you see? That even when they're getting 2, what's happening to them? Even when they're getting 2, they're still considered 1, right? Even when they're getting 2, they never become, Ephraim and Menashe never become their own Shvatim like Reuven and Shimon. They get double Nachala, they get called sometimes Shevet Ephraim, Shevet Menashe, but they're always under what umbrella? Yosef. Okay? They can't get away from it. Now, a very interesting little event in Yoshua Perek Yud Zayin, which is little known. Sefer Yoshua, this part of Sefer Yoshua is not studied very well in general. Usually, in the schools, what they do is they teach the first couple prakim, and then when it comes to dividing up the land and the parts that are, they just daven it up, as we say. They just quickly, and it's a very not well-known incident in Nach. What happens is, but it's very relevant to our issue of whether Ephraim and Menashe are two or one. At the end, after they're given their nachalot, all the way at the end, after Perek Tet Zayin, where Ephraim gets their nachala, Yud Zayin, where Menashe gets their nachala, at the end of Yud Zayin, we have the following incident. V'lo yachlu b'nei Menashe lo horishet ha'arim ha'ela. They were not able to conquer their land. V'yihi ki chazku b'nei Yisrael v'yitznu etzakanani l'mas v'horish lo horisho. Now they come to Yoshua, Pasuk Yud Dalet, in Source 10. Vayedabru b'nei Yosef et Yoshua le'mor. They come to Yoshua and they say, Madua natata li nachala goral echad v'chevel echad. Why did you give me only one portion? V'ani amrav. Ad asher ad ko berchani Hashem. I am many, I have so many children. Why did you give me only one portion? Now, on the B'nai Menashe, okay? Now, when they call them B'nai Yosef, now it's interesting, they call them the B'nai Yosef. Why do we assume, you're right, that it could be Ephraim also complaining, but why do we assume that it was Menashe complaining? Because it comes right after the discussion about how Menashe was unable to conquer their portion. But you're right that it could have been Ephraim also. Goral echad v'chevel echad, which means like one portion. Goral was the way. I don't know. Goral echad v'chevel echad. Right. I don't know why. Maybe they're stressing it. But what does it seem like they're complaining on the face of it? That they only got one nachala. Now, who would this seem to support? This would seem to be proof for Rashi, let's say, that they didn't get double nachala. So, of course, this is going to make a difficulty for somebody like Ramban, or like the Gemara, where the Gemara says that they got double nachala, right? Because they're saying, goral achad v'chevel achad, you only gave me one portion, and I have so many. Okay? Now then Yoshua answers them, and he says, go up to the forest and see if you can conquer the forest. And they said, well, even that, we can't do that because there are Knanim there, and we still... And then in Yud Zayin, Vayomer Yoshua el Beit Yosef le'Ephraim v'le'Menashe. He calls them together and he says, Am Ravata, you're two together. Again, what is he assuming? That they're responsible for one another, even though they're supposed to be like two Shvatim, but he's lumping them together. Am Ravata, v'koch gadol lach. Lo yelcha goral achad. You're not going to get only one portion. Go up and clear the forest, clear the mountain, and you'll have more space. So, Lamaseh, he didn't give them anything more. He just told them, use what you have. Well, he didn't give them anything extra, right? He didn't, yeah. Right. So, well, this is, of course, a very important question. Why is Menashe complaining if everybody got all the, and if you look at the numbers of the Shvatim, if you look at the numbers of how many there are in Menashe and how many there are in the other Shvatim, there are Shvatim that have more people than Menashe, many more, like 30,000 more. So why is Menashe complaining when they're a smaller Shevet and somebody like Yehuda, who has 94,000, why isn't he complaining? So there are different answers that are given to this question about why were they complaining. The Gemara's answer in Baba Batra, it's very close to the other Gemara that we were talking about, Baba Batra Kuf Chaf Gimel, the Gemara says, Mishum Tfelim,
because they had many juniors. Tfelim are people who hadn't reached yet, to 20 years old. So what happened was, and actually the Ramban explains this very carefully, that of all the Shvatim, Menashe, he does a very careful comparison of the two sets of numbers, and he says that Menashe had the most growth from Yitziat Mitzrayim to Bi'at Ha'aretz. So if they gave the land, this is another interesting question the Gemara has, did they give it to Yotzei Mitzrayim or Bi'at Ha'aretz? If they gave it to Yotzei Mitzrayim, then they were lopsided in how much growth they had, and therefore that's why they're complaining. Okay? So that's the Gemara's answer as to why they were complaining, is because they had more tefillin than any other shevet. They had more people who were junior at Yitziat Mitzrayim, but by the time they came to Eretz Yisrael, had grown to adulthood and needed a portion. Also, another possibility is that they had more tefillin, even if you say that the land was divided by Bayaretz, they had more tefillin from when they came into Eretz Yisrael till the land was divided, which was 14 years later. By that time, if you had a lot of juniors who grew up and came to adulthood by the time the land was being given out, then they would not have gotten a portion. And if you had families that had, let's say, 10 or 12 coming out of one person, then you had 10 or 12 adult families in need of one person's portion, and they were squeezed. It could have come out lopsided, because let's say if you had a few very large families that only had, each one had only one portion, those families would complain, we don't have enough space. Okay? That's the Gemara's answer. Ramban's answer, very simply, from a Pshat point of view, is he says, what happens right before they come to complain? They were not able to conquer their land. So why were they complaining?
Okay, but
when the Gemara says tefillin, the Gemara is talking tefillin. The Gemara is talking there tefillin as to tefillin that grew up by now. That's at least the way Rashi understands it, that it's tefillin who grew up by now. What you're saying is that they're tefillin that they're not able to fight. Right. Except that if you look at the numbers, we know what the numbers from 20 to 60 were because the Pasuk talks about them. And they had more 20 to 60 than other Shvatim who had, let's say, 45. I have the numbers here in my bag if you want to look at it. So they don't really have less army men than other Shvatim. If that were the case, then the other Shvatim should have complained first. I mean, we're looking for something specifically about Ephraim and Menashe that you could document that they had a particular problem that no other Shevet had. So the problem of enough people for the army is not because there were Shvatim that were smaller than them. Okay, but it's an interesting thought. Right. What they're saying is our land can't be conquered. And that's why it comes right after the Pasuk saying that they couldn't conquer it. Yes. What she's saying is that there is expected to be a brotherly love between Ephraim and Menashe, which you, in the other Shvatim you see a tension between the brothers, but Ephraim and Menashe are expected here, they're being charged to get along and work together. Yes. Now let's just take a look at the Ramban. Why the Ramban here is going to give us an explanation for, now we still have a problem that Ramban hasn't solved, because Ramban was of the opinion that they got a double portion of Nachalah. but you have them saying Gora l'chad v'chever l'chad. Now that's a big problem for Ramban, because they seem to be saying that they only got one nachala and not two. So Ramban is going to have to address that. So let's take a look at the Ramban. La Rav tarben achalato, l'shevet merubeh b'ochlusin natnu chelek Rav, afal pi shelo ayu achalakim shavim. This is Rashi's opinion that they gave it out l'karkav gavre. Okay? So then the Ramban goes on. Let's look at the second paragraph. V'hakatuv she'amar madu anatatali nachala goralachad b'chevelachad. You see where that is? Okay? So here he's addressing the problem of the pasuk in Yoshua. L'divrei hakol, he says, whether you say like me, whether you say like Rashi, whether you say like the Gemara, whether you say not like the Gemara, l'divrei hakol e efshar shisha'er kanigle mipshuto. It cannot be like it sounds. How does it sound? That they only got one. Remember, Ramban is saying that they got two. Ki im chalak lahem ha'aretz l'gulgul otam k'divrei Rashi. If they got a piece per person, hinei lakhu dayam, then they got enough, right? Because they didn't get any less than anybody else. The im lishvatim yefshar shalonatam lahem Yoshua chelek b'choratam. And if it was divided, if it was like Rashi, that each person got a portion, then everybody got enough. And if it was like I say that it's lishvatim, then it's impossible that Yoshua didn't give them one for Ephraim and one for Menashe. Shelo ayover al tzavaat Yaakov. Okay? So it can't be. Look at where I underlined. Aval Amram, a couple of lines down. Aval Amram goral achad v'chevel achad. What do they mean when they say goral achad v'chevel achad? Lomar. Well, according to Ramban, it's sort of a figure of speech. And why did they use this figure of speech? Because they always had this conflict of one shevet or two. So they said, Kol mashenatata lishneinu ra'oi le'echad begoralo. They said, really, you gave us two, but it's so difficult to conquer that it's as if what? The whole piece that you gave for the two of us together is really only enough for one shevet. So they were complaining, but they used the language of goral echad v'chevel echad because they first got one big one and then it was split, right? Like we saw in the psukim, that first they got one big one and then it was split. So they said goral echad v'chevel echad, that whole big portion that you gave us and then you split in two, you should have left for one of us because it's so hard to conquer, okay? And then he goes on, you'll look at the last line in that paragraph, Ayata ta'anam ipnei ha'tfeilim. And their real complaint was because of the tfeilim, like the Gemara says, that they had so many of these young ones who now had come to adulthood. Then he gives another explanation, ufi derech ha'pshat nireli ki ha'tzvacha hazot ha'yata shel b'nei Menashe. His first answer, he's assuming that it's Ephraim and Menashe, both of them are complaining, which is consistent with what the pasuk says, Vayidabru b'nei Yosei. But in his second answer, he's assuming that it was only the b'nei Menashe, and their complaint was because nobody else had land that was so difficult to conquer. And why did they say goral echad v'chevel echad? Their argument was, why did we get this land that's so hard to conquer? Why were we so unfortunate to get this land that was so hard to conquer? Because you had to find a piece of land that had boundaries big enough for two. Had you given us each one shevet's worth, rather than first giving us a double portion and then splitting it in half, we wouldn't have ended up in this place. Their complaint was we only ended up in this part of Eretz Yisrael because you were looking, obviously they looked for land that had sort of natural borders, so you were looking for a piece that was big enough for two and then to split it in half, so that's why we ended up with this land that's unconquerable. So what they said was, goral echad v'chevel echad, you gave us one first and then split it up, but that landed us up in a position where we can't conquer the land that you gave us. Okay? Either way, Yoshua doesn't give them anything. He doesn't respond with any, he doesn't have anything to offer them other than the suggestion of go and conquer this part, go go to the forest, go to the mountain, whatever it is, but he doesn't offer them anything more. Ramban, though, has resolved the issue of how could it be, on the face of it, the pasuk says that they only got one, but he's of the opinion that they got two. So now let's sort of bring together what proofs we have that they are one and what proofs we have that they are two. So that they are one is the fact that they got land together first and then it was separated. They don't have their own brachot. If you look at the Birchot Yaakov, and this is something which my son's friend pointed out yesterday, he says, if you look at the Birchot Yaakov, you don't have a bracha for Ephraim and Menashe separately, right? They get together, they get Yosef. Not only that, but when Moshe gives a bracha to the Shvatim in the end of Dvarim, it's also Yosef. So you see that they are considered one shaven. Okay? The Gemara assumes that for all intents and purposes they are one shaven, except for what? Except for Nachala. Okay? On the other hand, the fact that they are two Shvatim, well, they have their own Nisiim, their own Meraglim, their own Dgalim, their own Nachalot, right? Whenever it's listed as Menashe and Ephraim. They are called Shevet Menashe and Shevet Ephraim. And also when they are given the Nachalah, it says Goral B'nei Menashe and Goral B'nei Ephraim, which would indicate that they are two. Okay, so you see that in reality, Ephraim and Menashe are never either all two or all one. Thank you.